Okay, the story with the elder, the maid. We're going to start that again because the Gemara is in the middle. Okay. Yud Zayin Amid Aleph, six lines from the top of the page. Or 17a1, bottom of the first column. Torah Rabban Rabbanon learned. It says, because the Gemara is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu electing the 70 elders, you know, the best, and if it's 70, 71, whatever. So it says, Vayishor Shnei Amnashim B'machni Yashem B'kalfi Nishtayru. They remained in the box. What does that mean? What does it mean they remain in the box? Shabbashar Shaman HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe when Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu Esel Yishiv V'mishra Diknei Yisrael, gather 70 elders. Amen, Moshe, Moshe said, Ketzer Esel, how could I do, I have a problem? Should I pick six scholars per tribe? It's in the Shnayim Yisraelim. Then you have 72. So there's two extra. So if I should pick five, it's only 60. Right? So what should I do? Should I pick six from this tribe? And five from this tribe? I'm going to make jealousy. Why is this tribe getting six and this tribe getting five? Moshe Rabbeinu had a political dilemma. Because he's starting up with the Jews. What should he do? Ma'asa, what did he do? Bira Shisha Shisha, he picked six elders from each tribe. Then, Vehevi Shivim Mishnayim Piskin, he brought 72 lots. Lotteries. Al Shivim Kosev Zokain, and 70 of them he wrote Zokain. And al shnai minil cholok, two he left empty. He left empty two. Balam benasim ekalfi, he put them all into a box. Okay, so he had like this: 72 people because he picked six from each tribe. So there were 72, but you only need 70. So he made 72 lots, and on 70 he wrote zakein, and two he left blank. So then when the guys would pick it, the two that would be empty. So he said like this, Amalehem, Beru Tlupis Kechem, go draw your lots. Go Misho, Biyadi Zokain. If it came out, the lottery said Zokain. Amakva Kitschko Shemaim, the heaven Hashem picked you. Misho, Biyadi Cholok, one that came out empty. Amale said, Amokim Lechavis Bach, Hashem doesn't want you, Moani Esser, what can I do? Okay? So therefore, according to this opinion, Eldad and Medad picked two empty ones. Yeah. They picked two empty ones. So they stayed in the... So what does it mean they stayed? Where did they stay? In the box. Meaning they didn't pick the word Zakeh.
So Rabbi, that means the tribe of Levi only had four?
And Levi wasn't counted, Bechlal.
But aren't in Ada the Neda the tribe of Levi?
No.
From Amram.
Yeah, but I'm saying Levi... Oh. No, Elder the Meda, they weren't. They weren't Levi.
Yeah, but they're from Amram.
There, well, again, in Pshat, that whole thing doesn't exist.
Oh.
Now, even if, yeah, it could be that Yocheved divorced, that's one of many opinions, Yocheved divorced and remarried. Okay, then it says, Kiyeti bedava ata'imit. We find a similar thing. Now, it says like this. Initially, the Bukharim were the ones to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. Then when they sinned in the Ego, they were thrown out and went to the Levium. Now, how do you do it? You need to transfer from the Bechor to the Levi, right? Because there used to be the Bechor working in the Mishkan. When they sinned in the Egel, Hashem said, okay, you guys are out, I'm giving it to the Levium. So the Pasuk says they had to redeem them. Okay? Now, each firstborn sanctified, like it says in this note, okay. Now, there are 22,000 Levium, and 22,273 firstborns. So there are 273 more firstborns than the Levium. So the extra 273 firstborns had to redeem themselves. So they had to give 5 shekels. Okay? That means 22,000 corresponded with the 22,000 Levium. So they were for each other. The other 273 firstborns had to redeem themselves. So they had to give $5, 5 shekels. Yeah? The problem is, which 273 are going to pay the 5 shekels? Every Jew's going to say, no, I got a Levi. You go get, you know, instead Jewish business. Bottom line is, 22,000 Levim didn't have to pay. 273 people did have to pay.
The
Levim
get?
The Bechor shouldn't pay. The Bechor had to pay.
Now, they had to redeem themselves. They had to redeem themselves.
Like, this makes the families very, very big. In 2 million people, there were only 22,000 firstborn.
Why not? Yeah, they had six at a shot in Mitzrayim.
It's less than 1%. That means every family was 100 people.
Why?
2 million people.
Yeah, but it's only boys.
No, it's only boys.
What about the girls?
Yes, 200 girls and everybody.
You go on an average.
No, a lot of families, 50% didn't have boys first.
Fine. On average, it's 44,000.
Yeah. No.
2 million people, 44,000 Bukhurin?
Firstborns, yeah.
Very big family.
Okay, so they had big families.
Okay.
How did the Levim, what did the Levim get?
Levim got nothing.
How could
the Bukharim had to redeem themselves. Just like a firstborn son, did they have to redeem? Okay, so the Levim redeemed them. But if the Levim didn't redeem them, they had to redeem themselves. Correct?
Mm-hmm. The Bukhari had to redeem. What did the Levim get?
Nothing. The Levim got to work in the Mishkan. A firstborn today has to redeem himself for 5 shekels.
Fine.
Okay. So in the time of the Mishkan, the Levim, 22,000 Levim, redeemed, but just by being Levim, redeemed 22,000 Bukhar. But there are 273 extra, right? So now the problem is, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come to one Jew and say, pay 5 shekels. He said, no, the other guy should pay 5 shekels. What do you do with Jews? Okay. By the way, this started from then. It didn't start today. The Jewish problems started those days. Okay. So it says like this. It says, Hashem said to Moshe, you need to take 5 shekels for the extra 273 people. Moshe said, what am I supposed to do here? Yeah? If I'm going to tell the Bechor, give you 5 shekels, Yemeli is going to say, no, Kvabadani ben Levi. A Levi redeemed me. I'm from the 22,000, not from the 273. Ma'aser, what did he do? This is Jewish work, man. Hevi esim eshnayim alafim piskim. He brought 22,000 lotteries. Because of Alem ben Levi. And he wrote on 22,000 of them, ben Levi.
Oh, my.
Al shleish of yeshivim masayim, and at 273, he wrote chamisha shkolim. 5 shekels.
Handwritten.
Balalam v'nasim b'kalfi. You know, according to one opinion, Moshe Rabbeinu, the day he died, wrote 12 Sefer Torahs.
That day.
That day. The whole question is, how did he do it? The whole thing, what that mean? Anyway, it's all sich from the Rebbe about it. Balalam v'nasim b'kalfi. So he mixed them up and put them into a box. Amalem, he said to the 22,273 people, take your lottery. Next page in the Shadenstein. Mishala biyadi ben Levi. If the guy picked up ben Levi, Amalei Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu said to him, okay, Kvapadocha ben Levi, you were redeemed by a ben Levi. Mishala biyadi chamesha shkolim. If a bchor picked up the paper that said $5, he said, Tempid yonchav itzei. In other words, basically left it up to God. Very simple. So it's the same thing. The Gemara is just saying, just like not Eldad or Meidad was the same way. He picked 72 and 2 he wrote empty. Okay. So in other words, he said, not me, blame God. Okay. So the same thing with the firstborns, the Gemara says. So therefore, according to this opinion, what does it mean that two of them stayed in the camp? I mean, we stayed? Where did they stay in the box? Their names stayed in the box.
What are you doing? They were plaskering Eldad
Omeidad? 1 second, when the Gemara is not done. Rabbi Shimon Amir, Rabbi Shimon said, no. But Machin and Nishtaydu, they stayed in the camp, not in the box. What do you mean? Shah Shaman HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Meishem. What Hashem said to Meishar Rabbeinu Esfali Shivim Ish. Gathered 70 men, right? Amra, Eldad Omeidad said to themselves, we're not fit for this. We're not fit to be one of the 70. So they remained at the camp. They didn't even go In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu six per tribe, pick six per tribe, but Elder Ameda stayed in the camp.
You picked the lottery.
No, there's no lottery.
I mean, the
well, we will still sing. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, "Hurl me at the Eschem." Okay, since you humbled yourself, Hareini Meisik Gedula Gedul Aschem. I'm going to make even greater than you would have been otherwise. What Magdula Esiv Lehem? What greatness did he give them? Shanaviim Kulo Nistabu VePosku. All the 70 elders were saying the Vuah prophecy and they stopped. They continue saying prophecy. In other words, they said we're not fit for the job. So Hashem said, because of that, not only am I going to give you prophecy like all the others, you're going to continue prophecy. And they continue prophecy. So the Gemara said, Ma nevu nisnabu. What prophecy did they say? Because it said, Vinistabu b'machana. They were saying prophecy in the camp. What did they say? They said, Moshe Meis, Yeshua Machnas es Yisrael L'Oretz. They said, Moshe Ben is going to die, and Yeshua is going to take us into the land. Okay? That's one opinion. And that's why, according to this, this is what Rashi says in Chumash, this opinion. And therefore, Yeshua came to Moshe Ben and said, hey, get rid of them. Look what they're saying. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Halavai. It's great what they're doing. Okay, that's another.
When Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not going to Israel, Am Israel didn't know this?
No.
It wasn't revealed to Jews?
No. No, Hashem told Moshe.
Later on.
Huh?
Hashem told him later on, not here.
Yeah, but right after Shlach, Baloyz Cheshlach. Yeah, this happened before the Meraglim even.
Yeah.
Paleischa, this is in Paleischa. The next part is Shlach, where the Meraglim were. This is all in the first year.
But before he died, he gave the Torah
to you. One second. Before he died, 40 years later.
And they learned Torah all of that.
Again, did they learn the story of Kedach before it happened? If they learned Torah. As I mentioned, the very practical question. Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, for sure, the Gemara says, learn Torah, yeah? Did Yaakov Avinu learn Chumash? I'm sure he did. Learn Chitas every day. I mean, how not, right? Now, in Parshas Vayeshev, it says the whole story of Yosef being sold. So if Yaakov learned the story, what's his problem? What's his problem? Abba Chanan Amin Mishum Rabbi Yezer, huh? I heard there was all one word and you could divide it up a million different ways. I don't know. Anyway, that's so one opinion says, what did they prophesize? That Moshe Rabbeinu died. Come on, so let's get this straight. There's two opinions. What does it mean they remained in the camp? The first opinion says they remained, yes, Shemim, they remained in the box. That means a lot.
What mean they remained in the box?
That means their papers remained in the box. That they picked empty ones.
So they
picked. Yeah. The second opinion says no. They never even went to the lottery. They just stayed in the camp. Okay. And then the pasuk says he said prophecy. What prophecy did they say? So the first opinion says that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die and Yeshua is taking the Jews into Israel. Abachon and Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. No. Aliski Slave Misnabim. They were saying prophecy about the slav, about the bird. They were saying, Ali slav, Ali slav. Bird come up, bird come up.
Why did Moshe Rabbeinu get upset? They were saying the
nevuah. In other words, this was preceding the story of the slav. In other words, the Jews said, we want beef. Behindly, basa. Give me basa. Moshe Rabbeinu says, the guy I can't handle. Where am I supposed to get meat from? Okay? So Hashem said, pick the 70 elders. Okay? Now, the slav didn't come up yet. So this didn't, the 70 elders was picked before the bird actually, the meat came up. So they already prophesied what was going to happen. That the slav was going to come. They said, Ali slav, Ali slav. So this is the prophecy that they said, that how is Hashem going to solve the problem? Through the slav. Rav Nachman says another answer. What did they prophesy? Al iski gog and magog hayim misnabim. They're saying the prophecy about gog and magog. Okay? In other words, the pasukim say in Cheskel and different places that before Mashiach comes, there's going to be a war of gog and magog.
It's the first year of the
Yes. They complained right away.
Rabbeinu, what is Magog?
It's questionable where Magog is. It says Gog, the king of Magog, will attack Israel. Some people say Gog and Magog is the bear which was Russia and America, and some people say World War II was Gog and Magog. But Chal Rambam writes, until it happens, we ain't gonna know. So it could be anything happened. But he said, what was this? He said prophecy about Gog and Magog. Why? Because it says, the pasuk says like this. Hashem said, Ha'atuhu asher dibarti biyomim. I says, about, are you the Goig? Are you the one about my spoken ancient days in the hands of my prophet Yisrael? Hanis aniven biyomim mahim, who said prophecy in the olden days. Lahavi Eishalem, to bring you upon the Jews. So he says, don't read it Shonim earlier years, read it Shnayim, two. Which two are we talking about? Where do we find two prophets that said at the same time one prophecy? In other words, where in history do we find two prophets saying the same prophecy at the exact same time? Only Elder the Maidah. Have I am Elder the Maidah. So it's Elder the Maidah. Okay? Now, and the Mepharshim explain here like this. There's three opinions about Ali Slav, or Meshemes, and Yeshua is going to take the Jew in, or Ali Slav, and Gog and Magog. He says, this is what it says, Yisnabu B'machana. B'machana means that Yeshua is going to lead the Jews, the quails who are soon going to come into the camp, or the camp refers to the Gog and Magog is going to come on the Jewish camp, like the Pasuk says. This is why each one said what they said.
They get power of the Moshe because
they. It says in the puzzle, they said prophecy. There's three opinions what the prophecy was. Whether Moshe Rabbeinu is dying and Yeshua is taking, or the Slav should come up, or it doesn't mean Gog and Magog. Now the Gemara says like this. Rabbi Shimon said before, Kol HaNeviim Kulin Nistabu Pasku. All the other seven, the elders, said prophecy and stopped. It was only a one-time deal. But Elder the Maidah continues saying prophecy. So he says, Minolon the Pasko, how do we know that all the other Nevi'im stopped? Maybe they all continue saying prophecy.
What does that mean? That they didn't Nevo'ah one
say,
time and they never made it?
Right. Never Nevo'ah again.
No.
At that time, the 70 elders. Those guys.
Oh.
The 70 elders. In fact, the Gemara doesn't even say what they prophesied. The Gemara just says what Elder the Maidah prophesied. But it says, one opinion said in the Gemara, that all the 70 elders, because bottom line was, Elder the Maidah were 72. Elder the Maidah was not part of the 70. There were 71 and 72. But the Gemara says, all the other Nevi'im had a one-time prophecy then. We don't know what it was. It doesn't say. And then they stopped. So Gemara said, how do you know they stopped? Maybe they continued. So it says, because it says, Vayisnabu v'lo yasafu. Simply, yasafu means they didn't continue. Elamiyata. So what does it mean, lo yasafu? They didn't continue. So you see, it says that those guys said prophecy and stopped. And then it says, Eldon Amedad continued. Elamiyata, Gemara says, how can yasafu mean stop? It says in the Pasuk in Bas Chanan, after Matan Teiro, Kol Godo V'lo Yosaf, a great sound that Lo Yosaf. Hochan Ami D'Lo Yosefu? Are you going to say that it didn't continue? No. Elo D'Lo Yosef. What does Yosefu mean? That it didn't stop. Right? That it didn't stop. Yeah? So L'Cheiro, how could we say Yosefu means it didn't continue when Kol Godo V'lo Yosef has to mean it didn't stop? Because it means the voice of Hashem by Matan Torah was very powerful, right? Elo, Tumar says like this. What's that?
Shibet
to you? So they have more machines than people.
They shibet.
Elo Sigmar said like this. Hacha Ksiv. Well, how do we know that it means they continued? I mean, sorry, that they stopped. You can't say it means v'lo yasafu, because yasafu doesn't mean stopping. Because by Matan Torah, it says yasaf and it means continued. So he says like this. Elo Hacha Ksiv here by the 70 elders. It says v'yisnabu, that they said nevuah. And Hasim Ksiv, about Elder the Medev, it says misnabim. Once past tense, and once present tense. By all the other Nevi'im, it said vayisnabu. They said prophecy, past tense. That means they only said past, didn't continue. By Elder the Medev, it said misnabim, are prophesizing.
Continuing.
So from there, he learned, Adayim is not well, they're still going. Okay? So now the Gemara said before, there are three opinions what Eldad Ameda testified, prophesied. So Gemara says like this, Bishleim Elamandi Amar Meshemez, according to the opinion that says, that they, what did they prophesy? That Meshe Rabbeinu is going to die. That's why it says, Meshe Rabbeinu said to Yeshua, came to Meshe Rabbeinu and said, Adeni Meshe Kloim, destroy them. Why? Because they're going against Meshe Rabbeinu. It's made it by Malchus.
Why? And what's more about?
Because you don't tell a king you're dying and somebody else is taking over.
Didn't they know they are saying a nevuah?
But no, Yeshua didn't know. Yeshua's Meshe Rabbeinu knew they're saying nevuah. Yeshua hears that what's Elder the Maidit saying? The Meshe is going to die, and Yeshua is taking the Jews in.
Moshe Rabbeinu was not upset at Elder the Maidit. He was upset at Yeshua because of.
He wasn't upset at anybody.
I told him, why do you...
He said, halavai. He didn't get angry at him. Yeshua had to say what he said.
Because he didn't know.
No, because if it's not a prophecy, Yeshua didn't know they're saying prophecy. Right? If somebody comes along to the king and says, in presence of the king is going to die and his next one's going to take over, that's merited by Malchus. So he deserves to die. Okay? So when Yeshua comes to Meshe and says, Meshe, they're saying they made it by Malchus. Meshe benu Melachoya. The Rambam says. He was a king. So they were made it by Malchus. So Yeshua says, destroy them. That makes sense. But according to the other two opinions, that they said Gog and Magog, or they said Alista, why should Meshe benu destroy them? And the Gemara says, Yeshua, when he heard they're saying prophecy, he came and said, Meshe benu destroy them. So if they're prophesizing that Meshe Rabbeinu is going to die, it makes sense why Yeshua says destroy them. But if they're going to say, Alis Lav, let this love come up, or they're going to say, Gog and Magog, who cares? Why should Meshe Rabbeinu destroy them?
Why is it a problem to say that the king will die? I mean, every king is going to die.
Definitely. Yeah, but there's a difference knowing it and saying it.
You still shouldn't say it.
Pardon my expression. If you come to somebody and say, drop dead, yeah, eventually we're all going to drop dead. Yeah, but if you say it to somebody, it's not nice. Correct? Yeah, everybody's going to die. It says in the Chumash, Ofer Atov, Ofer Toshuv. But you don't say, go drop dead. You understand? That's what basically they promise. And don't forget, this is before the Meraglim. They're going into Eretz Yisrael any day. Then what is he saying? You're dying now. Which is not even true. Because Moshe Rabbeinu lived another 40 years. Okay, so now the question is, El Lamandi Amar. El Lamandi Amar Nechtarti, but according to the other two versions of prophecy that they said, Alis Lov, or Gog and Magog, my Adeni Moshe claim, why, what did they do bad? So Gemara says an interesting thing. The Lav Orech Ara, it says it's improper. It's like a Talmud ha-made alocha b'fnei Rabbi. Just like a Talmud is not a render alochic opinion in the presence of his master. And the Gemara says ha-made alocha b'fnei Rabbi chayiv misa. So prophecy is the same thing. They're saying prophecy in the presence of Meshe Rabbeinu. What?
Rashi brings this
thing. What?
This this that they said something in front of Moshe.
No, that's not the Nevi'im. Okay. So now the question is like this. Okay, so they did something wrong. So now the question is the opposite. What did Moshe answer Yeshua? When Yeshua said destroy them, okay? So now the question is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu tell Yeshua, Halavai? Everybody should be prophets. Yeah? Now, if they're saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was dying, why should Moshe Rabbeinu get excited about that?
Upset.
You should be upset. So why does he tell Yeshua, I only hope everybody would say such things?
He became upset later in anyway.
Eleman the Yomim Meshemez, Menech Avenichale. Would it be good? So Gemara answers, no, Leisai Mekamei. It's interesting. Gemara answers, Yeshua didn't finish the statement. It says, Yeshua told Meshe, they're saying prophecy in the camp. Stop. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Halavai. But that was before Moshe Rabbeinu heard what they said. He didn't finish the statement. In other words, according to the Gemara, now it's an interesting thing. According to all three opinions, what was the sin of Eldad and Medad? That they said prophecy in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because even the one Moshe Mess, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know yet that that's what they said. Yeshua didn't finish the statement. So basically, Yeshua is coming, according to either one of the three opinions, Slav, Moshe dying, or Gog and Magog, and he says, hey, Moshe Rabbeinu, they should kill him. They're made halacha, they're saying Nevor b'fnei Rabbi. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what? Halavai. I hope everybody becomes prophets. Because the Rabbi could be Meichel is covered.
Even if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't hear it.
Correct. No! According to this, what was the sin of, even according to the first opinion? Not what they said. The fact that they said Nevuah in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Even if you didn't hear it.
Right.
That's like, it's a halacha meaning. That Nevuah has the same weight as a halacha in front of your Rabbi.
You're not allowed to.
Nevuah? Same as
so that's what the Gemara says. That's what Yeshua said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Gemara says this. So Yeshua said to Moshe Rabbeinu, what's going on? They're saying Nevu in your presence.
But that's a, I mean, at time of Nevi.
Yeah, that was the
Avei. There was only one Avei, let's say Yeshua, I mean, Yeshayahu, then all other Nevim, they couldn't say anything?
Right.
If Moshe Rabbeinu didn't hear it, if Yeshua wouldn't have said anything, Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have known that they said Nevu.
No.
Closed.
You mean Yeshua should have kept quiet?
If he hadn't said anything.
Yeah, but he said it's obviously people understood, heard them saying it in their camp, wherever they were.
So he's protecting the covenant of Moshe.
Well, isn't the requirement of a Navi to reveal what the Nevuah?
That's why they had to say what they said. Right. It's like the famous question. The Mefarshim discussed this. The Chayra Yosef Atzadik, was not a fool. He's a smart guy. He knows his brothers hated his guts. What is he rubbing it in their face again and again? What's he doing? Think about it. The guy's a holy Tzadik, Yosef, yeah? He knows his brothers hate his guts. Every time he says something, they hate his guts. He has to keep doing it. What is he, crazy? So the Mefarshim answered a very interesting thing. There's a din that a Navi was given Nevuah and doesn't say it is Chayiv Misa. There's a Pasuk in Chumash. Okay? And it's one of the Tayag Mitzvahs. If a Navi is given prophecy, he has to say it. Yosef knew his dreams were prophecy. And here you see the greatness of Yosef at Tzadik. Yosef knew his dreams were Nevuah. The word talking Nevuah. And Yosef knew if Hashem is showing it to him, he has an obligation to tell it to them. So Yosef was so great that even though he knew his brothers were going to kill him, he still did it because Hashem told him to do it. And the contrary, not, this doesn't show the stupidity and foolishness of Yosef. On the contrary, Yosef was so great that even though he knew his brothers were going to kill him, he still had to say the Nevuah. He had Mercy Nefesh.
That's why he That's why he went when his father told him to go.
Yeah, that's why everything went.
Yaakov also knew this, and he still sent him.
Well, huh?
Yeah,
but Yaakov Avinu thought Shliach Mitzvah doesn't get damaged. And what he didn't know, the Gemara says, is that in a place where there's very big danger, it doesn't help. So that's what, okay. Anyway, so now what?
Can't you also say that Yeshua is in trouble because he also said a halacha in front of his master? He's the one that told Moshe.
He didn't tell me halacha.
He's the one who told Moshe you got to kill him because
he didn't tell me halacha that if you say prophecy, you got to kill. Let me ask you a question. If witnesses come and testify a guy committed a murder, yeah, and therefore they should be killed because the witness has to have to tell the guy what the punishment is, correct? Are they ruling in front of the Beis Din? No, they're telling a fact, and therefore they're saying this is, you know, they're not ruling a halacha. It's a pasuk in Chumash.
But here they're saying kill him.
If somebody in the presence of the Rebbe says to somebody, you have to keep Shabbos, is that ruling a halacha in the presence of his Rebbe? No. Because it's... Because it says in the Chumash, you have to keep Shabbos. We're talking about halacha that you need to figure out.
Oh.
Okay. B'chal, there's another interesting din, by the way. That if you see something doing some... If you see somebody doing something wrong, you have to stop him even in the presence of your Rebbe. You have to tell him you're not allowed to do it. To stop somebody from sinning... This din of Meir Halacha B'fnei Rabbi, the Gemara says, and Shchunar says, doesn't apply. Because you have an obligation to stop him from sinning.
Even nowadays?
Even nowadays.
What if the opportunity is missed?
No, it only, that din is Pshas Maisa. If somebody is doing something wrong, you have an obligation to stop him from sinning. Right. But if it's done already, then you can't do it in afterwards, if come privately, but you can't do it in front of the Rebbe.
When somebody comes in the car over there and asks a question,
no,
and he's walking off. If I don't answer him, he's going to walk off anyway. So the opportunity.
Again, if it's a clear cut din, it's not an issue.
How do we know somebody prophesying? If somebody walks in and says, "I'm Mashiach," are we supposed to bow down to him, or what? What does it take? I mean,
somebody walks in and says, "He's Mashiach," mm-hmm. Send them to the psych ward.
Mashiach is supposed to come every second, so he's going to introduce himself once in a while.
Trust me, we'll know who it is. So. Yeah.
Shiny.
And it says it looks exactly like us suffered. It doesn't look somebody that came from the moon or something.
I promise you, when he comes, I'll tell you, Tim.
We've been fooled before with Shaftai and all
that. Okay, that was the big tie against the Baal Shem Tov. They thought it was another false Mashiach, like Frank and Shaftai
3. The Muslim guy, the guy who turned Muslim.
Okay, so now the Gemara asks like this. My Kloim, what did Yeshua mean when he said to Meshe Beinu, destroy them? Like, what did he mean? Avalei, so it says like this. Yeshua said to Meshe, how... destroy them? What, did she kill them? No, that's not what he meant. He said like this. This is so profound. You know what? Burden them with a community leader. Then call them ALM, they'll die on their own. He said, put the responsibility to certainly cause them distress. No, he says like this. It doesn't mean, the way the Mefarshim explained, it means like this. Kloim destroy their nevuah. Hmm. How?
By overburdening
them, you get distressed, depressed, and distressed, and the nevuah can only be mitoch simcha. That's what Rashi says.
You see, because they did this one, they stopped nevuah.
Huh?
Because they say that they stopped nevuah, they don't have any power to do.
Here, Taisus says, I meant Taisus, top Taisus to the left, Vein Kala Me'alem Pirush, well, who's going to destroy Nevuasim Kala? The prophecy will stop. Why? Then Shechina Sheira Mitech Atzvus, El Mitech Simcha. It can only come from Simcha. That's a racist, and Hilchus say that Taisus, Navi has to be B'Simcha. So he says, you know, I'll give you a very simple advice, make them public servants, they'll be crazy over the head, and they'll be depressed from all the problems dealing with Jews. And
Yeshaya, with regard to prophecy for that Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, he was sad. How could he get them?
Obviously, when he got the Nevoah, he wasn't. Okay. That's the end of this Eldad made the story. Now, Vayitan. Then it says like this. This is going back all the way to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that the minimal amount of a bezin to kill somebody is 23. Right? So the Mishnah said like this. It says, V'shavto ha'eda, v'tzilo ha'eda. Right? People save and people judge. That's 10 and 10. Eda's 10 is 20. And then the Mishnah says you need another 3. That's what the Mishnah says. So now the Gemara is going back to that. It's a long time ago. Minayin lahavi eid shleisha. How do we know you need to give another 3 to make a bez din of 23? Okay? Gemara is picking up the source. 70, it says, isfaliyich shivim skenim. Right? So now the question is, what is it as far as the bez din of 23? So he says, save. So Gemara says, okay. So it says in the Mishnah, before we go into the Gemara, the Mishnah explained, like it says over here, that you need a majority of 2 for murder. In other words, to fight, practically speaking, you have a bezin of 23. If 12 say innocent, 11 say guilty, he's innocent. If 12 say guilty, 11 say innocent, he's not guilty. Why? Because you need a minimum of 2. The Gemara learned that. The Gemara is going to explain this now. You need a majority of 2 to make him guilty. So you basically need 13 and 10.
Yeah. 2, 21
and... No, bezin of 23.
22.
So if you have 12 and 13... I mean, 13 and 12 and...
21 and 23.
1 second.
10 and 13.
10 and 13.
You need 10 and 13.
That's correct.
But if you have a bezdin of 12 and 11. So if he's innocent, 12 say innocent, he's innocent. But if he's guilty, you need a bezdin. You can't do 12 and 11. So you need 13 and 10.
Majority of 2 would never happen.
Why?
How could you have majority of
2? 13 and 10.
That's majority of
3. Oh, one second. We'll see that later. But about at least the majority of 2.
You have one abstain,
no? And
then it's 12 and 10.
The Gemara's going to talk about that. We'll see. We'll see how the Gemara's going to say then, so is a majority of 3. Because there's no other way. Gemara said, no, if you add more dayanim, what if you add more? No, if a guy says, I don't know, so then you add more dayanim. And then you can end up with that number. Okay, we'll see in the Gemara. Nobody left the... Okay, so the Gemara says like this, self. In fact, the Gemara's asking this question now. You never find a majority of 2. He says, why? Lura, for bad.
Oh.
Says why? Again. If 11 say innocent, and 12 say guilty, it's only 1. So if there's 10 innocent, then it's 3. So Gemara asks a question on the Mishnah. Just practically speaking, how do you have a majority of 2? The minimum bezdin is 23, right? 12 say guilty, 11 say innocent. There's no good because it's a majority of 1. So the only way you could have is 13 and 10, so it's a majority of 3. So where do you have a mixed case of a majority of 2? So Gemara says, Amar Ababu, Yatameitze Ele B'Mesofen, only when we add judges to a lesser bezdin. Okay? Now, what happens if a judge doesn't know the answer? So it says, the Gemara Mishnah says later, you add another 2 judges.
Two?
2. Mishnah below says, if a judge is unsure, 2 judges are added to the Sanhedrin.
Still you won't have
then you get 24.
You said you add 2.
25. 25, right?
Yeah, 25. But one doesn't talk. One doesn't know. You have 23.
One doesn't know.
So you add 2, now it's 25. But really, it's 24 because one guy's out. If he's not sure, he can't say he's a
bezdin.
It's
a shekel.
Huh?
It's not a shekel.
Yeah, but then you're right. But still, you have a bezdin that's not shekel. It's still 25. So, bro, then you have 24 and 22. I mean, 23 and 21.
Oh, yes.
I mean, not 23.
You have 24. If one is not talking, you have 24.
What?
If one is not talking, you have 24.
24. And then, for the 24, you can have two majority.
Now we have
13 to 11.
And
when
it's
12
and
12.
11 and
13. No, then you keep adding.
13, yeah.
But it's dismissed.
Huh?
12 and 12 become mistry. So
but this. If we're always like this, the odd number is not good. It should be the even number.
Even? Yeah, even if somebody not.
23, it should be always 24. Get two. Yes,
okay, so now the Gemara says, he says like this. Either, and now the Gemara is saying, how do you get a majority of two? So either when you add, and then it's everybody says that, meaning if it's a small bezin of 23, or you know where else you have it, by the big bezin of, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the big bezin is 70. Correct? So you can have a majority of two, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because once you have an even number bezin, then you can have a majority of two. According to the Chacham that hold the big bezin of 71, you can never have a majority of two. And interesting, the big bezin you can't add to. There's no such thing as adding to the big bezin. Okay, it is what it is. If a guy says, I don't know, they hack him at Chinik, they argue with him, they to make him get an opinion. But in the smaller bezin, if a guy says, I don't know, what do? You add more.
There is one reason Moshe Rabbeinu was part of 70, not 71, like we have last
week. Gemara says, Ali ben Rabbi Yehuda. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda that says it was Shivim. So then you can have a majority. But that's what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, not the Chacham's opinion.